wonderful things of the Lord. Amen. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. Abide in Him only and trust in His word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Abide in Him. Rejoice forevermore, for this is the will of God. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God. Be thankful in all things, for this is the will of God. Give thanks at all times, not for all things, but we can always be thankful to God because He is God. It's a habit that we need to develop and is never fully developed. Isn't that true? James spoke of controlling the tongue. Does your tongue ever get out of control? Do we ever fail to speak of things that are not as though they are? Are we drug into speaking of the things that are because they are, rather than speaking of the things we'd like them to be? You know? Yeah, the person who has complete control of their tongue, that's a perfect person. And when we think we're getting there, we sometimes run into a problem and find out that maybe we're not there. But if we recognize that we're not there, we got a chance to refocus, right? The idea of constant faith. Mark 11:22 says, Jesus replied, have faith in God constantly. Now, it's right after that it talks about if you say to this mountain, or whatever you ask, you'll receive. But just before that, it says, have faith in God constantly. I think there's a link there. How important is it that we have faith in God constantly? I heard a sad thing on TV the other night. There was a car accident, and there was a woman that was badly injured. And as she was getting weaker, she said, I should pray. I should pray. And the person who was comforting her and trying to get help said, no, you don't need to pray. I'm right here. Now, as I thought about that, you know, why would you think about those things, Roger? Well, as I thought about that, because the first thing I did was I thought, oh, come on. Hopefully she prayed. It's just a TV show, I know. But the Spirit of the Lord was saying to pray. And maybe the guy didn't believe in God. He didn't give any theological reason for that. Or maybe he just was afraid, because when people start to pray, that means they're giving up. That's what the world thinks. But when someone says that they should pray, maybe they're reaching up, I would think. They're reaching out, they're reaching up, they're wanting to get a hold of the Lord. When Jesus was going and they came and they were laying people out to be prayed for, and they were reaching just if they might get a hold of His garment. And in that particular instance in Mark, it was everyone who got a hold of it was healed. The reaching out to God. How important is it to be reaching out to God? Well, it's really, really, really important. It's one of those things that we need to be like in the Old Testament, they put boxes of scripture on their foreheads to remind them to look to the Lord. Not a bad idea. Whatever it takes. We use sticky notes now. But David said, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. because we can't always get to the sticky note. But God has sticky notes everywhere for us. There's always reminders. There's always opportunities. And you know, some would say, well, can't you just watch a show and not have to worry about those things? And I said, no, that really bothered me that he said, no, you don't have to pray. I know it's just a show. But how about the people that watched it that don't know it's just a show? And they're thinking, yeah, she didn't need to pray. She didn't need to pray. That just proves it. That's Dano on Hawaii 5-0. He says she don't need to pray. It's a script. We need to pray. And we know that our prayers don't have to be complicated or eloquent. They need to be prayers. When we pray and say, I don't like it this way, I want it this way, we're speaking of things that are not as though they are. I want it this way. And I believe and I trust you, God, that you can make it this way. And because I believe and I trust you, God, then I'm going to leave it with you. And I'm going to get you up above my worries. I'm going to get you up above my fears. I'm going to get you up there so that when those fears come, all I got to do is look up and see you right above it. See, because I know where you are. I'm not going to be caught up in saying, where are you, God? I know where you are, God. You are high and lifted up. Your train fills the tip. I know where you are, God. Where am I, God? I'm looking unto you, the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm fighting the good fight of faith. Sometimes people will say, well, I'll try. I thought about that and I thought, okay, how about at a wedding ceremony? How about Lisa, when you and Willie got married and I said, Willie, will you love Lisa for all your life? And he said, I'll try. There would have been quite a long interruption to the ceremony. You know? Do you love me? I'll try. Vicky says to John, honey, do you still love me? I'm trying. How would that be? We wouldn't quite buy that, would we? No, that's not John. No. He's a smart enough man to say, of course I do, honey. It's more difficult at some times than others, but of course I do, honey. Sometimes it takes more effort than others, and sometimes faith takes more effort than others. But we decide right away that we're going to make the effort. So many people now don't bother to get married. It's a commitment. That's old-fashioned to be so committed. No, it's the way it's supposed to be. Be committed. A commitment. We are called the bride of Christ. That means that we took vows, a marriage vow. And the Lord said, I will love you forever. In good times and in bad times. In sickness and in health. I will love you. And He meant it. And we're trying. Don't try, just do it. See, because when people tell me that they're trying, I think it's like saying, well, I'm not ready yet. I'll try. A flat tire on a vehicle. What are we going to do? I'll try. Yeah, we'll do it. Once we had one in a Suburban, coming back from camping. And so the whole back end was full. And we had to get to the tools. And then we had to get the cable to crank down so that we could get the tire off. And then there had to be enough air in the tire, the spare, to make it work. And so you had to try everything to make it work. Now, I was saved at the time. So being saved at the time, I could pray at the time. Before being saved at the time, I could have talked to that mess. Not very nicely. I could have kicked and done all kinds of things. But I prayed. And there was air in the tire, and the tire got down. A little extra work, that's okay. Why do they make things like this? Nobody wants to change a tire anyway. You know, I haven't had to change very many of them for a long time. In fact, except for my old trailer that had a leaking tire. And that I had to take the trailer down because I couldn't get the thing off. It was rusted on there. You know, sometimes we get in a rut that's rusted on. And, you know, you can spray some WD-40 on a tire and maybe it'll help. The oil of the Spirit always helps. See, when we recognize, where am I? And then maybe we're down and maybe we're discouraged and maybe we're lower than low. But we can speak of things that are not as though they are. We can say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am a child of God. And if I have to, I can find a mirror or a window or something to look into and say, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've been saved by grace. And maybe then I could say to the reflection, act like it. You know? I mean, there's nothing wrong with giving yourselves a talking to. If I hear the wrong things come out of my mouth, if I hear doubt and if I hear fear and I hear discouragement or I hear anger, or I hear something that shouldn't be there, Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us ears to hear what comes out of our mouth. Give us a spirit of understanding to recognize, whoa, be like Urkel, did I say that? See, we have to get control over these things. We really do it, and to get control over the things, we got to have a constant faith. The Scripture tells us that it's God working in us to will and to do His good pleasure. He's at work in us. He's at work in us. He's at work in us. He's at work in you. He is at work in you. But we have to agree with the work. If I have some work that needs to be done and somebody gives me an estimate of what it's going to take to do that, I have to make a decision. Do I want to do that or not? And if I don't make a decision to do that, if I don't let that person know to do that, it won't get done. Some things are easily fixed and some things aren't so easily fixed. But the Lord's got a plan to fix everything. So, Scripture says, submit yourself therefore totally unto God. That's kind of like have faith constantly. Constantly. What do we come here for? To build up our faith. to charge up our battery, to be reminded, to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and speak to our hearts about things, maybe speak to our heart about where constant faith would have fixed something or is fixing something. He's working on it. I just need to pull into the station and say, just fix it. I don't need an estimate, Lord, just fix it. You know? Like if you're on the road and you're far from home and your car stops, you don't really have time to say, even though you know what it's like when you're on the road, you can get ripped off. At that point, you're not really in a position to haggle. You just really aren't. You can pray that the Spirit of the Lord will come upon the person. You can pray. We had a tire. We were taking Shiloh to college, taking her to Vermilion, which transferred to Vermilion. Had the truck loaded, had a trailer behind it, and we're driving. And Shiloh calls me and says, "Daddy, your truck's leaning. Is there something wrong?" We pulled into a gas station. It was leaning. Flat tire. I had some of those things to try to fix it, plugs, but my plugs were so old, there was no plug to them. So I went into the station, into the convenience store, and they had some of the plugs. And their plugs were as old as mine. Nothing to them. But there was a guy there that got in his golf cart and went home and brought me one that worked. And I'd have paid him whatever he wanted. But he didn't want nothing. I call that the favor of God. I call that two favors of God. One, that somebody saw that my tire was going low before I ran it off the rim. Two, that somebody had one that would work. And three, that I got it in there and it held there. I don't know. It got me. I never did change that. That was such a good plug. But I tried. I did. I continued to ask and got it. Sometimes, folks, it's like when there's a problem, people who thought they were Christians before the problem took place forget that God is able. So maybe the faith wasn't constant. Maybe the faith was at the level where this is too much for God. Maybe it's at the thing of well, I don't know if it's necessary to pray yet. It's always necessary to pray. Isn't it always necessary to pray? Prayer ministers to your soul. Prayer opens you up to God so that then God can minister to you. Because if you don't pray, man, he's got a batter against all the walls that we've built up not to receive the answer to our prayer. But there's something about calling upon the Lord that creates a crack that starts a peace move. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lean back against you, and breathe. And then I'll feel your heartbeat. Whenever we sing, "Drink the cup from your hand," I think about, I was reading this week about, you know, the brothers, the Thunder Brothers. "We want to sit at your right hand and at your left." And Jesus said, "Can you drink the cup that I drink?" "Yes, we can drink the cup that I drink." He said, "Well, you will drink the cup that I drink. I don't want to drink the cup that he drinks. I would prefer to drink the one in his hand of a new and better covenant." Am I willing? You know, last week we talked about, am I willing to drink the cup he drank? If I have to. But I like the new and better covenant better. But I do pray that I could drink the cup that he drank. I do want that. That's going to take some constant faith. It's going to take some working. It's going to take some working out your faith. It's going to take some bringing it out. It's going to take experiencing the answers to your faith, because the more that you have the answers, the more ready you are to go, the more complete the circle just stays, so that, not a problem, we'll pray. We'll pray. Constant faith. Because it's God who's working in us. It's God in Ephesians has given us all things. All things for us to be all things that He's called us to be. He's given them to us already. We got Him. I'm so glad that we got Him. And I'm so glad we don't have to, you know, it's not like me. I don't have to go digging for them, trying to find out where they are. I know right where they are. It's because I know right where they are that I'm quick to pray about, Lord, where is what I'm looking for? Need your help here, Lord. I need your help here, Lord. I know that you're my helper. I know that you're my healer. I know that you're my comforter. I know that you are all of these things. And because I'm not right now feeling it, I'm going to speak of it as though it is before it is. Because it isn't right now. LaVon, you said that you spent some time in the chair. There's a lot of talking to God. Even when you're hacking, there's talking to God. There is. But who better to talk to? Who better to talk to? What if we have to go through that alone? How do we survive? Barely. But we don't have to anymore. Because He's working in us to accomplish His good plans. Does that mean that nothing else will get in the way of the good plans? If nothing could get in the way of good plans, He wouldn't have to be working in us to accomplish them. If there was no weapon to form against us, then we wouldn't have to worry about no weapon formed against me will prosper. We need to be aware of the full counsel of God. So that if He warns me that in this world there will be tribulation, noted. But don't worry about it, I've overcome it. Noted. Thanks for letting me know, I'll watch out for it. Before cell phones, and when we were driving down the highways, breaker and route breaker, gun nine, any smokies ahead. That was when I needed to be concerned about smokies ahead. Now the only reason I would need a smokey ahead is, has there been any smokies? I'm broke down on the side of the road. But I can remember going down the road, man. Or somebody coming on and saying, hey, good buddy, why don't I watch out? Mile marker such and such, there's a smokey up there. Oh, thank you very much. The voice in the box. Now we got a voice in our hearts. And I have had Him tell me to slow down. I have. My cruise control shows 64 when it says 65. But if I put it at 66, then it shows 65. Which one is right? Well, if you use your stopwatch, it's very difficult to determine the milliseconds between the two. But God doesn't appreciate me just setting it on 66 because I think 66 is better. That's just me and Him, because we made a deal a long time ago. So I've had to do the millisecond thing. And when I did the millisecond thing, I discovered that actually the digital readout may say 66, but I'm actually going 65. But sometimes I just have to leave it on 65. I'm more than happy to listen to the voice of the Lord, because then I do the math and I say, what's a big deal? If I go 1 mile an hour faster, I'm still going to be at the stoplight by Walmart. When I need to be at the jail, it'll be okay. What's the difference? If I drive 135, then it'll make a difference in the time that I get there, as long as I don't get picked up, but I don't do that anymore. He's still working on me, though. He still is. We still talk, especially when I'm on the motorcycle. Motorcycles take off on their own sometimes. It seems like. Especially now, I've got some severe troubles because my cruise control doesn't work on my Goldwing. The only way you can drive 65 on a Goldwing is with a cruise control. The thing just goes. So I have to watch it all the time. You're supposed to watch the road, but I have to watch it all the time. I'll have that fixed in the spring. But when it comes to the things of God, I don't want to wait till spring to fix it. I don't want to wait until I feel like it. I don't want to hear myself say, well, I'll try, Lord. At least I can say with God, all things are possible. See, constant faith says that. Vicki found a book, and she wanted me to read the book. And it was a good book. And I screamed through the book, because I don't read many books that aren't slow reads. I don't read many books that I get to finish a chapter and not read the chapter again, just because they got stuff in them that I need. But this one didn't really have anything in it that I needed, except it was a good story. It was a good book, kept you going. I read it in 2 days. I got it done. Part of the reason that I was encouraged to get it done was because Vicki would always come in and say, where are you in the book? And then she would say, are you at this place yet? I said, honey, I don't want to talk to you. Because you will talk about something that I don't know yet. You'll ruin the book. Pretty soon she comes back in and she's doing something at the piano. I said, I'm on chapter 25 if you want to know where I am. She said, I'm not talking to you. Ask me, I tell her what page I'm on, but have they done? No, don't ask me about that. I don't want to hear about it until I've read it. I want to read the whole book. And then when I finished the whole book, we could discuss the whole book. I don't remember everything about the book, but it was a good book. It was a clean book. It wasn't one swear word in the book. It was pretty amazing, and it kind of had a, just, well, it doesn't really matter what it had. It seemed okay, but you know, when it comes to the things of God, seeming okay is not okay. If we're going to be in Christ, then the Bible says, you know, let's walk with Him. Let's walk like Him. Let's walk with constant faith. Let's not just turn Him on when it's convenient. More and more and more when I'm at jail, I have people that are nodding, yes, they need to do that. Yes, I've done that. Yes, I need to stop that. Now, they sometimes, once in a while, they'll raise their hand. One guy raised his hand last week and said, I used to be like that until I felt the presence of God. It changed everything. I messed up, but that changed everything. Fix the mess. We can fix the mess because God's working, giving us everything that we need, all of the tools. We've got an assistant to hand us the tools. We've got it all, and we can. But folks, we can never come to the place where we cease to have constant faith. I haven't been a Christian long enough to quit being a Christian. I haven't been a Christian long enough to come to a place where I give up on something. I should be going in and in and in, right? Some things I got done, but some things are still needed to be done. I can't try to be faithful to my wife. I need to be faithful to my wife. And if it's a struggle, I really need to do something with me, because it shouldn't be a struggle. From constant faith, that's just the way that it's got to be. I will tell you that absolutely, without Christ, Vicki and I would not be married anymore. Without Christ, I wouldn't be alive anymore. It just wouldn't be. It was only by the grace of God that we were together for the first 7 years. Really? Last night, you know, sometimes you think about the strangest things. Last night I was thinking about it, I thought, my God, why did she put up with me? And the whole time that I was wondering, at that time, why she put up with that, I thought she was fortunate to have me. And it was Mary Alger that put all that in perspective when we moved back here. When she simply said, I never thought you were all that cool. Why were you even thinking about me? You were older. Because I ran around with your little brother. But she was right. She was right. And even by then, I was enough of a Christian to go, yeah, she's right. Well, I don't want it to ever look like I'm pretending to have faith. I don't want to be a pretend Christian. I just don't think that would even be comfortable. One of my earliest prayers was not to be a pretend Christian. Don't let me go back. Keep me going. And even now, that's my desire, to keep going. To keep seeking and keep finding and keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing in my walk with God, and not only with my walk, but in my service to God. I want the Holy Spirit to accompany the Word so much that when it comes forth, that in your heart, maybe it'll just hit and say, you know, I knew that, but I understand it better. Or I had that, but I let it go. It doesn't matter what you hear. What matters is how you respond to it. I don't want you to leave and go, is he ever going to learn anything? I wouldn't want that. That's a concern for me. To continue on in the faith. And to encourage you and be encouraged by you in the faith. If I need to be challenged or straightened out, my goodness, don't hesitate. If I got a blind eye, we'll gouge that baby out. Because it's better to go into heaven with one eye than into hell, two eyes. I think there's a lot there I don't want to be able to see. Constant faith. Jesus just simply said, have faith constantly. Believe God constantly. Constantly. There's nothing. When you think, there's nothing in your life. There's nothing that comes past us. Nothing that we see, nothing we hear, nothing that doesn't have something to do with God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you got some joy, you just got blessed by God. You got some comfort, well, that's God. You got some wisdom, where does wisdom come from? Wisdom comes from the Lord. See, everything comes from the Lord. So, Lord, we need constant faith. And you've given us all the tools to do it. May you be our first, second, third, fourth, fifth, first 100 choices. Lord, you're so good to us. You really are. Help us to see that. Help us to recognize that. When the enemy comes in, help us to recognize that like a flood, you raise up a standard against him. We're not afraid of the times, Lord, because you're greater than the times. We're not concerned about those things. We're aware of those things, and we pray about those things. And Lord, may we truly indeed be a people that speak of things that are not as though they are. Where it looks like destruction, we speak peace. Where it looks like impossible, we speak all things are possible with God. More than anything, Lord, may we always be faithful, loving, adoring, and honoring you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.